So then, after Buddha passed away, right after he passed away that summer, then during the summer retreat that the monks perform, there were 500 arhats, or sometimes maybe according to another explanation, 1,000 arhats. They gathered together in a place which is not far away from the Vulture's Peak, and they gathered together in a cave. And then at that time, the arhats they recited the text that the teachings, Buddha's teachings, from their memory, and they were examining whether the teachings recited or memorized was correct. So that was the event called the First Buddhist Council. So then during that event, the monks pie up their robes together to make a throne, and then the three arhats that time was installed on the throne to recite the three categories of the Buddha's teaching, and then they have the Ananda, and then Ubali, and then Kashyapa, in that order. Each of them recited one category of Buddha's teaching from their memory. So the Ananda was the one who recited the sutra category. So here, as we see that it says, I bow down to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So this shows that this is the sutra teaching. This is a sutra scripture. Therefore, the person who recited this sutra was Ananda. Then, the second person who sat on the throne to recite the sutra was, I believe, was Ubali. The second is Niwako. I believe the Sanskrit should be Ubali, and he sat on the throne. Then he recited from his memory the Vinaya scriptures, and others did the same thing, examined his recitation. And then the third one was the great Hira, Kashyapa, and he sat on the throne and then recited the Abhidhamma scriptures, and other people, the other monks, similarly examined. So that was the First Buddhist Council. And then the second Buddhist council happened 110 years after Buddha passed into Nirvana. Then that was the time of the king Ashoka, I believe it was Ashoka, the Indian king. And then at that time, seven Kajaji Jajungpa Dvenja. The 700 arhats, they gathered together to discuss the controversy which arose at that time, the ten controversial subjects which occurred at that time. So they gathered together to settle that argument. So then the Third Buddhist Council, according to according to the description that was given by Kejun Rinpoche in his Jude Jinang, the general presentation of the tantric class in this text, Kejun Rinpoche described the three different descriptions: one given by Balabha Vega, one given by Vinaya Deva, and one was given by the Indian adept Bhimasambhava. And then, according to Kedru Rinpoche's description, that happened at that time. The Third Buddhist Council happened 160 years after Buddha passed into Nirvana, because at that time there were controversy of the 18 divisions. Among the 18 divisions of Vibhashika school, the Vibhashika school has 18 sub-schools, and that time they had a controversy. Each of them was thinking that each of these 18 schools thought that their own view is in accordance with Buddha's teaching. So then it also says that there were a prediction, not prediction, the omen or the sign, indication of that event which occurred long time ago, during the time of the third Buddha, the previous Buddha, the Buddha previous to Shakyamuni, Buddha Kashyapa. During his time, there was a king, and he had a dream. During the dream, he saw that there were 18 persons, each of them holding a corner of a piece of cloth. Everyone was saying that the piece of cloth belonged to them. Each of them was, so they were arguing, but the piece of cloth remained intact. So they had this dream. After he had that dream, the king, after he had that dream, he went to the Buddha, Kashyapa. He asked what was the meaning of this dream. And then the Buddha says, it has nothing to do with you, the king, and also has nothing to do with my teaching. And it has to do with the fourth Buddha, so the Buddha Shakyamuni, our teacher, the founder of the current Buddhism that we have now. And it's indicating that at that time there will be 18 divisions of the Vibhashika school during the time of the Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching. As it says in the scripture, there were 17,000 people gathered at that event. Among them, there were bodhisattvas, and then arhats, and then also the ordinary pandits who are ordinary beings, 17,000 of them gathered together to resolve the argument of the among the 18 Vibhashika sub-schools. So at that time, during the Third Buddhist Council, the scriptures of Buddha has already been written in the written down in the form of book. So maybe Rinpoche thought maybe we should also go back to talk a little bit more of the title when it says the heart of the perfection of wisdom. Maybe we should understand a little bit more about perfection of wisdom. So here we say that perfection is has there are three kinds of perfections. There are the scriptural perfection, and then the perfection, and then also the resultant perfection. So then, perfection. Here, if you in the red, the version we have, it says wisdom gone beyond. So it's, the term used for perfection is gone beyond. The Sanskrit is paramita. The Tibetan is parching, paroduchimba. And English, sometimes you hear perfection. It's not a literal translation. Gone beyond perhaps is more literal, meaning going. The more literal translation would be going to the other side. So here, when we talk about perfection, there are three kinds. Then, for instance, the path which is found in a bodhisattva's mind, that is considered as the causal perfections, the perfection of the path. And then there's also the resultant perfection, which refers to the path that is found in the Buddha's mind. That is the resultant perfection. And then the scriptures, for instance, the extensive, medium, and condensed version of Prajnaparamita Sutra, Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, and also the Heart Sutra, these are the scriptural perfection, or you can also say the scriptural perfection of wisdom, three kinds of perfections divided. So then, for instance, Heart Sutra, you can call Heart Sutra the perfection or the perfection of wisdom. Why is it is called the perfection or perfection? Then because Heart Sutra teaches about perfection. In general, you can say that if a book is talking about a certain subject, then you can call this book that the name of that subject. For instance, if the book talks about medicine, then you can say this is a medicine book. So similarly here, because the Heart Sutra talks about perfection or perfection of wisdom, then you can say this is a sutra, a text, talking about perfection. So then, also here we say that the real perfection, the actual form of perfection, is only the resultant perfection, which means the path that is found in Buddha's mind, and the causal perfection or the scriptural perfection, they are only designated, they are only imputed the name perfection. Then this point was made by Indian master Dignaga. So he was saying that the resultant perfection is the actual perfection, whereas the causal and the scriptural perfection are only designated the main perfection.
Tāna sūdhi nē, ārā nē, jagal nāru rūvā yīnā, nāru nākhāl dū sūdhi yīnā, kāvā rūgara sūkā jagal rūvā, jagal lē yu mārvā, shāngchū sēmī rūvā sūkā tēn rāvā sūdhi.
Well, maybe to just give, sometimes you hear the word perfection, literally it means going to the other side. It's translated as perfection. So to give you a sense of why only the resultant perfection or gone beyond is called perfection or gone beyond, not the causal form or the scriptural form of perfection, then for instance, if you're going to India, you're on the airplane, you're on the path to India. So only when you arrive in India, that state is called gone to the other side or gone beyond. When you're only traveling on an airplane and when you're on the path, you haven't really gone beyond or perfected. So at that time, we say that the path in the Bodhisattva path, the path of a person who is still on the causal stage on the Bodhisattva path, that is not actual perfection or gone beyond. So similarly, when we say the six perfections, once you understand the six perfections, then there are like six forms, like of the. So then for the six perfections, each of them is divided into the two forms of causal perfection and the resultant perfection. So you can say there is the causal perfection of ethic, of generosity, the resultant perfection of generosity, and then same thing apply to each of the six perfections. There are two forms of causal and resultant for each of the six perfections. Then here we say that the introduction or the background is further divided into the two sections. One is the general introduction, and then there's the second part of the specific introduction. Here in the specific introduction, the text says, at that time, also the superior... Oh, I'm sorry. At that time, it starts from the third line of the first paragraph. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in the concentration of countless aspects of phenomena called profound illumination. At that time also, the superior Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva, the great being, was looking perfectly at the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, perfectly looking at the emptiness of inherent existence of the five aggregates also.
So then here,
this section is called the specific introduction. Because when it says the Blessed One, the Buddha, was in Rajagriha, he was engaged in the meditative equipoise, concentration, and at the same time, Avalokiteshvara was also doing the practice of profound perfection wisdom. It's only a specific situation, specific to the teaching of Heart Sutra. It's not common with other sutras, whereas the other sutra also gives the time and the place and other things. So that the first part is called a general introduction, whereas the second is called a specific introduction. So then here next what follows is the then it says the text says the basically Buddha and Avalokiteshvara, both of them engaged in the concentration, and then afterwards Buddha blessed the mind of Shariputra and Avalokiteshvara, and this dialogue between the two of them starts. And here the question mainly is a question from Shariputra asking how should a Bodhisattva train on the stage of the path of accumulation, path of preparation, then also on the path of seeing, on the path of meditation, and then finally the nature of the path of no more learning. And then afterwards, Avalokiteshvara gave the answer discussing how should a Bodhisattva train on the path of accumulation, path of preparation, how should a Bodhisattva train on the path of seeing, path of meditation, and then finally the nature of the path of no more learning. If you're not familiar with these five paths, it's in the table 3. You can find the five path, name of the five paths in the left column of table 3. And then here we say that because the dialogue between Shariputra and Avalokiteshvara was uttered from their mouth powerlessly without their own control due to the blessing of the Buddha, because they had this conversation only because Buddha blessed their mind. Therefore, we say that this is Buddha's words, which is not directly spoken from his mouth, but is suggested. Which happened due to Buddha's blessing. So the words of Buddha, which happened due to his blessing.
Papa Shinai is also in the Gigi Menos, those Tawashuveris, Tawakarishuverisana, Rigi Bo, Mukalala, Shiraji Parudishima, Samu Joba Jibra Dubati, Jadala Vashas, what Tawatu is.
So then here says, then through the power, the text says in the third paragraph, then through the power of the Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said to the superior, or Arya, Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva, the great being, Mahasattva, how should a son, so this is, starts here, Shariputra starts to ask the question to Avalokiteshvara. So the question goes, how should a child of lineage train who wishes to engage in the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom?
That genetic land was the Sharibo, Rijibo, Rijibo Mukanala, Poinade, Tibachemi region want to use the Veta, Tibachemi region want to, Poinade, Bominanda, and the Kanala, Shiraji Parodishimba, Samu Juba Jiba Jobate, Dada Nabatawa Shati, Nedibun Guris, Karbun Gurisana, Pomona of the Dajan, Rajit Pomanava, Yanda was just with Taubus.
Then here, what follows is the answer given by Avalokiteshvara. He says, Shariputra, whatever son or daughter of the lineage, meaning no matter who the person is, a man or a woman, doesn't matter, someone who is who belongs to the Mahayana lineage, and who has who is has a dull mental faculty, because he's going to discuss the sharp, the give the teaching for sharp disciples later. Here, mainly the dull disciples. For that person, man or woman, how should he or she? Then the text says, whatever son or daughter of lineage wishes to engage in the practice of the profound perfectional wisdom should look perfectly like this. He should meditate like this, as described below. Subsequently, looking perfectly and correctly at the emptiness of inherent existence of the five aggregates also. So here he's basically saying they should be meditating on the lack of true existence or the non-existence of inherent nature. So here then, if you ask how do we posit the meaning of emptiness of true existence, what is the meaning of emptiness, then according to the teaching of Nagarjuna, Bodhisattva Nagarjuna, in his treatise on the Middle Way, he said, since there is no a few things which is not dependent arising, therefore there isn't a few things which is not empty. So he is basically saying that every phenomena is dependent arising, therefore they are empty of true existence. Because there are dependent arising, then there are different levels of dependent arising, the causal dependent origination, and then dependent rising of being dependent in the sense dependent rising in the sense of depending upon causing conditions, and then dependent rising in a sense of depending upon the basis of designation. Therefore, because things are dependent arising, therefore they exist, and then because they are dependent rising, therefore they do not exist truly.
What is it? That the tendency in the Kaju were a tap, Namunga to Nas and Naljan Judirota, Nas again, Rana Daju, Susan, Tune, Tatu Tabu Samatu, Nasia, Tatu Tabu Matuva, and then Rangu Manituva, Ron to Kuva Yumas, Daju Kumala Tune the Tuva Yisan, Matuva Ron to Yumas.
So what does this mean? As Rinpoche discussed yesterday, because, for instance, I is merely designated independence upon only a basis of designation, a collection, which is the basis of designation. Therefore, the I do not have existence from its own side, the status of existence, nature, the mode of existence from its own side. It doesn't have independent existence or independent nature. We say that phenomena are only imputedly existent through me is through the process of naming or the designation by means of a term or by means of a concept. Then there is no other existence, nature of existence other than that. But having understood this, we should also try to differentiate the difference between non-existent, something which doesn't exist, and something which exists. Then, to give an example of the non-existent category, then there are the true existence, inherent existence, a horn of rabbit, and also, for instance, conceiving that there is a snake on top of the basis, which is merely a rope. In other words, thinking that a rope is a snake, that kind of thing are not existent, even though they are merely designated, but they do not exist as designated, whereas existent phenomena do exist as designated. So we have to make a distinction between existent things and those which do not exist. So then, therefore, it is very important to recognize what is true existence, what doesn't exist, in order to, so in other words, the object of negation, the true existence, as it says in Shantideva's guide to Bodhisattva's way of life. Without knowing the imputed phenomena, which means the true existence, one do not apprehend the non-thing, which means without recognizing the true without recognizing the true existence, the thing which we imputed, the thing which do not exist, something we conceived wrongly, then we do not understand the emptiness of that thing. So here, basically, it's saying that it is very important to recognize what is true existence.
That ne, much mandus lava yena, mayar madu mersing kudos, mayar madu, pana jeb mandus lava yena, jeb mersing and jeb mandus shim kudos, jeb shim man, jeb mabu woman was, jeb mabu shibala, and jeb mersing kudos. Then I did never mabu.
So here, for instance, if we say that something do not exist, first of all, we should recognize what is the thing that do not exist. We should recognize the thing that is to be negated. For instance, when you say Jeff is not here, then first of all, you have to understand who is Jeff. What is this Jeff that is to be negated, that do not exist here? So you have to understand the object itself in the first place. Then you can understand that it doesn't exist, or he is not here. So first recognize the object to be negated. So similarly, if we want to understand lack of true existence, that there is no true existence, then first of all, lack of true existence is emptiness. So here, in order to understand that, first of all, we have to understand what is true existence, to recognize what is true existence, which do not exist. Then, for instance, if you're shooting an arrow, first of all, you have to recognize the target. Without recognizing the target, then you can't get, you can't reach the target when you shoot an arrow.
What is?
Not when you shoot a gun.
That car you got it. Deba member is allowing you to shoot. No, no, deba maru got it. Deba member is allowing you. Ane ya, thani to member kune. Ane ma deba maru song to ma member kusuna. Ane deji yo maris, lejuli yo maris. Gaja chow chow kaan cheta mono maris.
So then, when you looking when you were studying, like when we talked about lack of true existence, when you heard that and you understand that phenomena do not exist and they do not exist even conventionally, and then at that time you fall into the extreme of nihilism and you think that I do not exist, Four Noble Truths do not exist, then that becomes a overly broad identification of object of negation, which means you do not correctly recognize the object of negation, and you negate too much, then you fall into the nihilism. So then here we should be able to tell the difference between non-true existence and non-existence. So when we say that things do not exist truly, however, they are not non-existence, they do exist. Phenomena exist as designated, even though they do not truly exist. And then also, we say things do exist, but they do not exist truly. So it's important to differentiate between non-existence and non-true existence, and also between existence and true existence.
Jai kambo hachang wane tanda nabares, kuswaji kilenke, yutabares. Inna ku raji tumba se, jabar juru tumba se yate, kurung tandish lukonu wares. Sanglo zamba tanda yabar kaya maya, jayang yila maji ba, tu sanglo tanda yabate, jabar juru tumba se, tunji kumba se, tandish lukonu wares.
Then, for instance, the Chinese abbot Hashang, even though he's truly a Buddhist, he's a real good Buddhist. He has faith in Buddhist teachings. However, when he heard lack of true existence, that things do not exist truly, he reached a wrong conclusion, thinking that when we do the practice, we should not think about anything. We should not think any thought. So he says, according to him, any thoughts, bad thoughts or good thoughts, all of these are grasping at signs of true existence. And so it doesn't matter. So the way of meditating on emptiness is not to think about anything. So then his theory is if a white dog comes and bites you, it's painful, and if a black dog comes and bites you, it's still painful, and if a white cloud comes, it obscures the sun, and if a black cloud comes, it still obscures the sun. So no matter you are thinking a positive thought or a negative thought, it doesn't matter. All of these are things to be abandoned. All of these are... so what you should do is not to think of anything.
Then Jakamal Mobisha or Babatu Kulaka will Mars, Jakamala Manevaji, and then Jagan Kamala Shila Denejune, and then Hashang Kabris.
So then, the Chinese abbot had that view, but he was very skillful, he has a lot of theories, he has a lot of things to tell other people. Therefore, the Tibetans were not able to debate and defeat him. Therefore, the Tibetans finally have to invite the Indian master Kamala Shila to Tibet to debate with this abbot, the Chinese abbot. So then the problem here with the Chinese abbot is when he tried to understand lack of true existence, he didn't recognize very well the object of negation, the true existence which is to be negated.
Senzambadi Raju Gaja Tang, Senzam Gaja to Never Dubaka said, tekkabe ane gajatam ka tuni tu 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 mande
ti sinjang ba chol ka chugre de ma ju ba di to ma la
koma thanju lo je chena sezam be de me tu ma la da sezam be de me tu ma la raju be be tu ma la raju be ramon tu ba ki le ne ro ramon tu ra le tu ba yes
okay So then here there's the other side of it is so we just described nihilism, the problem of nihilism. Then there is the other side of the issue, which is for the Svatantrika school and the Chittamantra school, when they try to realize emptiness or lack of true existence, then they wasn't able to recognize the subtlest form of object of negation, so that they didn't negate enough. Therefore, because of that, they were not able to recognize the subtlest form of object of negation. Therefore, they couldn't realize the subtlest form of emptiness.
What is it? Because church chuma kaba, the church chuma kaba, lang ni chima what is mo kaya yun dito ba? Tatu su kung galaw, tatu mante tony la maybe tony lo kuwa tatu cha kuna. Tony Lua Tata Chasuna and Tambo, Tony Matu in Gua Chasuna, Tony Lam, two young shields. That you say that in the Semeca de Jusuna, Sanjung Shield Lay Waters. Then Sanjung Shield of Semi Jusha, Tony Tele, Yana Yadamil Mogina, and the Shinia Hatun the Shilaku de Murawa to see that.
So then, Tambo Kare Sumba.
Tambo de Siba, that Tony Deva Madu was at Gua.
So then, so here, as Rinpoche was just discussing, was according to then this issue was discussed in Naran Chingmo. It says Gaja Chachung Wa Gaba means, and Gaja Chache Wa Gaba. These two means. Then in the Naran Chingmo was refuting the wrong views. One of the wrong views refuted was a recognition of refuting. Overly broad identification of object negation, negating too much, overly broad, negating too much, more than what is necessary, falling into nihilism. And then there also is the in the Ran Chimo refutation of overly narrow identification of object of negation, which means not negating enough. So these are the two. One is too much, one is not enough. So in Naran Chimo, both of these are refuted. And after you have done all the studies and finally develop a correct understanding of emptiness, at that time, what you have developed in your mind is the wisdom, which wisdom arisen from hearing. And then after you even do more study and think about even more, and at the point at which point when you can establish emptiness with pramana or valid cognition, and in other words, realizing emptiness using reason, at that time you have achieved wisdom which arises from contemplation, so the second stage. And when you have developed that, then you take that realization, understanding, to meditation and try to develop shamatha or calm abiding and vipassana, special insight. So that is the different stage, developing three kinds of wisdom using the emptiness you have realized as the object.
Jibhāsa kādhāsā vārāsā na, āndā ngāsū tu mōchīvā jibhā pūyāsī vārāsā, āndā ngāsū mācī dōmāvā chāsū na kūkūntū nāsūs. Bū dōmāvā chāvā lātā nē, kūntū nāpā cēmē chūrū kūtuvā, jibhā rāsā tē. Yāng nāsū jī lātā nē, kūl chāvā chēsū nā, ngāsū chētū kūtuvās, tē jibhā rāsā. Tē nāsī nē, tātā tsūkī nēbāl tā अन्य कशी कर कैसी रह जाती है उस दुगलो टीवी ना टीवी में ताजी हुआ है तलते ने टीवी में था शुरू हुआ है ते ना जी ना तो कहीं ना कोई भी ताज तलते ने जवाब समझे ने डरा हुआ तो लगा हुआ है तुम्हारे
So then here when you first realize emptiness you necessarily realize inferentially, so it's only what you develop when we talk about pramana or valid cognition. That the first time when you develop a realization of emptiness is necessarily only a inferential type of realization, which means you are only using the the inferential valid cognition, not direct perception, when you first realize emptiness. So here we have to also understand what it means when it says inferential valid cognition, jeba tema, which here it means using the reason to reach a correct understanding or realization of something. Then the I remembered. So first of all, to give you an example, when you use the inferential valid cognition, as for instance, if you see someone's face turn red, and just by looking at a face, you're able to tell that this person is angry. Or sometimes when you just look at the facial expression of a person, you can tell that this person has attachment in his mind. And similarly, the doctor, they can examine the patient and tell, diagnose the patient and be able to tell that this person has a tuberculosis or this person has cancer, using the signs, reasons to develop, to reach inferential, inferential valid cognition. So at that time, this kind of a realization you achieve is called inferential valid cognition. So then we say also that the kind of the realization or understanding that we can achieve using those forms of inference is only a very rough or coarse type for our ordinary sentient beings. As Buddha said in his scripture, Buddha says only I or a person who is equal to me is able to examine or evaluate. If someone is like an ordinary person trying to evaluate others, then he would only ruin himself. That's the basic the quotation or the roughly the quotation from a Buddhist scripture. So basically saying we ordinary people, it's very hard for us to judge other people.
Then
also another case is like when you watch the news, you watch the weather forecast, then those people they can tell you like within 1 week in advance whether it's going to be raining or whether it will snow or whether it will be cold or hot or maybe or sometimes it can tell you that's like in 1 week in advance that it's going to be sunny or certain days. So these people are here, they're also using the inferential valid cognition because they look at the computer or whatever instrument they have and find a sign, an indication that because of that something would happen. So this is also a case of using the inferential valid cognition. And then similarly, then if you look at the forest and you see the smoke, then you can tell that there is a fire over there. And then also, like when you look at the people in this room, or whatever, you see everybody got a different face. That also indicate that we have different causes.
What did you say?
Then similarly, when we talk about the teachings, then the phenomena, the nature of phenomena, then when you say things are impermanent, then there are indications showing that things are impermanent. Then also, when we say that things are not truly existent, then there are indications that which show that things do not exist truly. Then, for instance, one of the signs, reasons that things do not, indication that things do not exist truly is that they are dependent rising. Using the dependent rising as a reason, then we can establish that things do not exist truly. So then here you have to think about a lot of reasonings. Then, for instance, there is the reasoning of dependent rising. Then there's also a form of reasoning. It's called freedom from singularity and multiplicity. That's the name of this reasoning. Then also, very important is to think about the metaphors which shows that things do not exist truly. So perhaps we're almost at the end of this session, so if you have any questions, you can ask now.
In the Tibetan tradition, do they study the Heart Sutra and the Rice Seedling Sutra in conjunction with each other?
The two sutra, Heart Sutra and Rice Seedling Sutra, if they are studied together in the Tibetan tradition, She says, basically, if you're able to, if you really know the subject, then of course you can. You can make a connection between any subject, and like Heart Sutra, you can connect it with the Rice Seedling Sutra, because that also talk about like lack of true existence, dependent rising. So you can connect these things together.
Please.
So then at this point also he says when we study emptiness, it's very important to rely on the definitive sutras. And there are two kinds of sutras, definitive sutras and interpretable sutras. So as the text says, the understanding of emptiness relies upon the ability to differentiate between the definitive sutras and interpretable sutras. Then the definitive sutras are the ones which teaches emptiness as their main subject matter. So it's very important when you're doing emptiness, studying emptiness, to study the definitive sutras and also the commentaries composed by Nagarjuna and his disciples.
Mm.
shi khan ka sum je ya se ni de ba nya le pha ba ya se ni de ba le
lu lu ya se ta je mu ji ga ta lu lu ri jong ta pa den da yu jong tu se de ba yo tu se ya bu se de ba le gu ma lu se ta sa ji ti xian ta le xi ji bu ta hm ta tong jin bu hm
de ta gen ke ran ji je ya se sum ma le de ne
lu lu ya se
lu se ya se ya Yeah, he was saying, I can remember, he's talking to Nagarjuna and his disciples. I confused and I asked whether he was talking about the Tsongkhapa and his disciples. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's also important. He says, very important to read about Tsongkhapa's commentary on the subject of emptiness. Then, for instance, the Lanren Qimu, there's a section on special insight that talks about emptiness. Then also the it's called the illuminating the thought, which is a commentary on Jerem, which is commentary on Chandrakirti's guide to middle way. Then Jerem Bucci also has a great commentary on Nagarjuna's treatise on the middle way. And then Rinpoche, remarked that then between the among the different Tibetan traditions like Sakya and Nyingma and Kagyu, they are kind of similar. Then it's very important to study valid commentaries. You have some.
When Rinpoche was talking about the Chinese master who had the era of thinking that he should have no contemplation, that he should just clear his mind completely, does that mean? Did I understand that right? It was like
not having any conceptual thoughts, bad or good, and not think about anything. That's the way of meditating on emptiness.
That was the Chinese philosopher's way.
The Chinese Tibet Buddhist abbot.
Okay. Does that imply that you should study all of the sutras before doing breathing exercises or clearing your mind, that you should have studied thoroughly all of the sutras on understanding emptiness before
doing practice meditation?
Right.
Sema di Yila de Kasa di Yila de Chiang Masimba Yima 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 Chiang Masimba Y mambu lo di loju mambu yabu che che cha ni dene tungi gong gong ba dene che go re pes
wo te ge je de sa ji de song ro da se ji da ye se ji de le wa da la ngai lo ma she ku ji mi s ne sa ji ge du ja ju song sa ba de da da ge ne ne bal me te ja da mo re s ne nda ma da song sa ro re s ne ga za gnu yi ne re sa ji ge go ma zu ne sa ji go ma da Sanjil deba yu jusen rishene, Sanjil zonsi kaka kin lemu gus, lenju yu maris. Taji deba shene, ko jusen da deba chungsuna, an nyanle je waris, wote sun waris.
Yeah, so that, yeah, that's important like to examine very clearly, very carefully before you embark on the practice. Then also another point he made was Buddha says, just like a goldsmith applying the method of rubbing, cutting, and burning in relation to a piece of gold. Likewise, one should examine Buddha's teaching, not like accepting merely due to respect for him. So as it shows, then it's very important, like when you study or practice Buddhist teachings, it's very important to examine the teaching very carefully, not just taking on the teaching because of the faith in the Buddha. Yeah, maybe we should relax a little bit and drink tea. tea? Yeah, he says maybe. Oh, yeah, we're fine. He says maybe you can maybe go there and get some tea, and you can still maybe relax a little bit. You can still ask some questions.
Yeah.